Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
November 25, 2022, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And we're live once again at O'Shelly.com on a Friars Day or a Friday night. And guess what we do? What we do most Fridays, except last week, I had to last minute not do the show because I had to record some stuff and there were scheduling issues and this and that. So, yeah, we didn't do it last week, but we're here again this week. So, Friday night, we're live. That means you can join us via the phone, or you can reach out to me on Skype, and I can call you into the show. But that's Charles.O'Shelly on Skype. Otherwise, the number, 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016. And we'll have the lines open. I went to air just a touch late. Let's see. What am I about? 3 minutes late or something like that going to air. Not a big deal. Haven't done a lot of live shows lately, but that's about to change. Anyhow, my co-host B. Pete is with me, and like I said, hopefully you can be with us too. 319-527-5016. Bring up anything you want, but I don't know. With the news this week, maybe we'll talk news. I want to talk about the award show thing that I have in mind for next year. The possibility of a road trip, maybe O'Shelly.com people coming together in Dallas, although somebody else brought up something else, but I'll get to that in a little bit in the broadcast. And nobody wanted to go live with me yesterday on Thanksgiving Day, so we didn't go live on Thanksgiving Day at all. Jack Blood didn't want to do it either, and besides that, apparently he's injured his retina, so he had to have a little surgery and all that. Don't know if he'll be back this week. Guess we'll see. Anyway, what I do know is B. Pete's with me. How you doing, man?
Doing good, Chuck. Doing good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, I didn't feel particularly well, but did some cooking around here, and I ended up eating a sandwich last night instead of even eating the food I cooked because it was just like, eh. Anyway, it's exhausting. But anyhow, who didn't have an exhausting Thanksgiving? It seems like. How was yours?
Mine was good. Well, I had an aunt pass away a week ago. Her funeral's Saturday. So
ooh.
Our Thanksgiving, I was going to have my brother and his wife. We moved it back to last Saturday. So we had that. So I had turkey and fixings all week for leftovers.
Oh, okay. So well,
yesterday I just spent back watching football and working on my napping skills.
Oh, that's cool.
Laid back day, but I have to tell you, I don't know how you guys have been down there, but it's weather-wise here, we have gone from 30 degrees in the morning to 60 degrees in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And, people are starting to get sick from the change of the dead of winter back to spring, so it's been kind of up and down.
Yeah, we had some cold snaps here where, yeah, it dropped below freezing, which is really unusual for Georgia. I think even more so than it is for North Carolina. North Carolina, I at least saw dustings of snow and stuff occasionally, the couple of years I was there. But here, there's no such thing as snow, and it usually doesn't get that low. But when it does, all of a sudden you need to, you know, break out heaters and things that you don't use the majority of the year. You maybe get 3 cold weeks a year, you know, where I am. And, it was really weird though, because sometimes, yeah, we started out frozen in the morning, and then by the middle of the day, the temperature was nice and all that. But that bouncing back and forth, I don't think does anybody any favors health-wise, you know?
Yeah, no. It's that time of year, though. I mean, we'll make it change. Christmas is, you know, just around the corner, so everybody expects it to be cold by then.
Yeah, maybe. I'll tell you something else, too, is I didn't expect to see traffic on the road so much. I didn't expect to see people going out. I figured, you know, the whole Black Friday thing's got to be dead, but apparently, according to many reports across the country, people are finding a way, even though they're broke, to go shopping. I don't know. I guess
they're making the best of the money they got. Plus, a lot of retailers have overstock left from last year. They're trying to get rid of, so they're really cutting prices on stuff.
Well, makes me wish I had a little money. but. Yes, yeah. between medicines and things lately, I got nothing. So, you know, my shopping's going to be done, you know, right before Christmas, what we get. And it's, I don't know what it's going to be. But I figured everybody was as broke as I am. I don't know. You know, like you said, the people are making the most of it, I guess. And who knows, maybe it does take you, you got to be out on the road more to bargain hunt, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It seems like everything is informed online, but maybe I'm wrong about that, too. I don't know.
Well, it's like Phase Shifter says in the chat room. It's credit cards, baby.
Well, yeah, but I don't have those. So, I don't know. See, again, these are things I don't, you know, it's like people go, well, why don't you invest in this? And I go, with what? You know, and we'll just put this or that on your credit card. Okay, well, I don't have those. You know, eh, what are you going to do? Pretty much whatever comes in through donations, I mean, what doesn't have to be laid out as expenditures, I'll use toward Christmas. But other than that, I don't foresee having a terrible amount of time that I got to spend out there shopping. So it is what it is. I mean, we'll get some stuff for Frankie for sure, but I mean, you know, eh. I don't know. It's an odd thing. I'm just looking forward to maybe my stomach won't be a wreck by Christmas and I can have a decent meal. That's all I'm looking at.
So. Yeah, Christmas has changed a lot over the years. Not being married, not having any kids, it's become a pretty easygoing holiday here lately. And you know, once the parents pass away, it's harder to get all the siblings together when they're stretched out over four different states. You know, so. Mm. You don't get together that often, and when you do, it's the rare occasion. But so it's a whole different holiday,
right?
For me than it was, say, 20, 30 years ago when everybody was married and nieces and nephews and youngins, and I've kind of gotten used to the solitude of Christmas.
Yeah, well, you know, and here's a question I have for you, actually, out of pure ignorance. I mean, how obligated are you, and for how long are you obligated to go and visit parents during Christmas time? Because I never really did that. I never had that either.
It was a yearly thing for us. Now, it got to be kind of hectic when I was married because we'd always have to spend Christmas Eve at her parents' house and then get up Christmas Day, eat that big meal, then head south for another big meal at my parents'. So it was a yearly thing. Every Christmas you tried to make it back home because you never know when you weren't going to have another one.
No, I get that, you know, and I've been married a couple times, and sometimes there's the consideration of you got to go see the wife's family. I get that, but like I never had the obligation, so it was sort of like, you know, I was never going to travel and see mine or whatever. But I knew other people that did, and it was like, I don't know if they were obligated or if they were happy to do it because, you know, it let them think back to the past. And when you have kids, you want to bring them to your parents because, you know, they're the grandparents now, that kind of thing. I get that to some degree, but it's like, how long are you, you know, if you're divorced or single or, you know, you don't have the kids with you this year, I mean, are you really obligated to go see your parents, or do they want it more, or do the kids want it more? I mean, how does that work?
Well, with parents, you know, I think they look forward more to it in later years because of the grandkids. You know, their kids, you know, Christmas was always big around our house, and I had three brothers and a sister, so, you know, Christmas was a big thing. It was, you know, the holiday. It was my favorite holiday, but that's usually when family all got together. My mom's sister lived nearby, and they had one daughter. We always got together on Christmas, and great aunts and that would come over. So my parents' house was always full at Christmas. I mean, that's usually when most of the kids tried to come back. All my brothers and sisters had 2 to 5 kids each. You know, so it was a house full, and it made for a great holiday. Really looked forward to it.
Yeah, when I was way younger, my grandmother used to try and pull, you know, all of her 5 kids and the various sundries that came from them together for Christmas. She used to try and do that. But I don't know, it was always like this, you know, one would be fighting with the other, so you could have either, you know, uncle this one or uncle that one at the house, maybe, right? And then there would be the uncomfortable thing with the divorces, so she would want to invite the kids, and the kids might have to come with the ex-wife. You know, it's like, ugh, I don't know. It was uncomfortable dynamic. I think after a little bit of time, she gave up on it. But, and then on my father's side, I had an aunt who tried to, like, make it open house for the whole family. And I think she gave up on it after a little bit when, you know, fights broke out and stuff. Again, because during the rest of the year, there might be some sort of grudge between cousins or brothers or whatever that would now, you know, spill into some, you know, hey, look, just leave me alone. I'm here to see mom, you know, or I'm here to see Aunt D or what, you know, and it's just like, and that's it. Leave me alone. And then you got people trying to avoid each other in the same house. Is this normal or is this just me?
It's normal. Okay. You know, friends have situations that I grew up with. A lot of them, their parents had divorced, and it made for awkward holidays when everybody was trying to get together. Our problem was everybody was so scattered. I mean, I've got family from California to, to New York to, deep south. So trying to get everybody together, used to every, say, 4 or 5 years, family from back west would come to North Carolina so they could go to the beach. Mm. And we would turn that into a week-long family reunion. One year we decided to, when everybody was coming back to go to the beach, we decided to have a pig picking at my parents' place before everybody went to the beach. So, you know, we took advantage of those times to get together. But it's been harder the past few years with everybody's parents getting older. And mine passed away back in 2015 and 2012. So since then, it's really not been that big of a holiday for me. But up until that time, yeah, every Christmas was a big deal. Just because it was the one of the few chances for everybody to try to get back together.
Yeah, I guess, I guess if you like your family, right, it's a good excuse to get everybody under the same roof.
Don't get me wrong now, not everybody got along, but everybody was welcome. Let's put it that way. So, it led to some interesting conversations over the course of 2 days. But for the most part, everything worked out. Nobody had to go to jail. We didn't have to post bail for anybody. So, it was a pretty civil time.
That's a plus. Listen, if there's no bail, there's no jail, and there's no need for the cops to show up and deploy the pepper spray, you've had a decent holiday, right?
Absolutely.
So anyway, that's happening. People are gearing up for that. Of course, you know, there is the ongoing situation of the politics. You know, we got the runoff selection coming up here in Georgia. Sorry, what?
That the 6th of December?
I believe so. You know, yeah.
2 weeks, yeah.
They're going to start the early voting, I think, tomorrow because there was a court case, which... I don't know. There used to be some sort of rule that the day after a holiday or whatever that you couldn't begin to vote. Something like that. And the Democrats were like, brought it to court and had a judge rule that they could begin it on a Saturday, the early voting. I don't know what difference that makes, honestly, but okay. I mean, it adds a couple of days of voting time for the early votes because they're going to start then. So there's that, but I don't know. It's a weird situation going on here.
Well, it's going to end up with either a 50-50 split in the Senate or a 51-49 split in the Senate. I mean, either way, it's win or lose. It's par for the course. I mean, we haven't changed anything in the Senate, really.
Right. Nothing's changed there. You got a turnover in the House, which is going to see Pelosi give up the gavel. But I don't know, I don't know what that really means, except that I know that the heads of the committees are all going to change, and therefore we're going to stop trying to pester Trump, and we're going to start pestering Biden with the committees. So that's going to happen. But other than that, what's really different? I don't know.
I don't know. I might slow down some of this spending since you're going to see a change in the House. Might not be so quick to pump out a billion here and a billion there. But what really concerns me is now that we have found out the government can print money whenever the hell they need it, why in the hell are they still taking mine? I'm waiting for the first congressman to get up there and propose the, you know, quit stealing my wages and leave me the hell alone, Bill.
Yeah, well, print some more instead of taking mine. Exactly. Why not? You know, you need it that bad, just make it.
Exactly. Let me have my.
Save yourself the processing fees of taking it from me.
I'm not getting anything out of, other than a little bit of federal highway money to reimburse some of the projects I'm working on for the state. I don't see a benefit to my federal taxes one iota.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Was there ever a benefit to those federal taxes, though?
I think the one time there was, when they were spent for things that, you know, were necessary. But when we're spending, you know, $500,000 grants on studying why newts aren't homosexual in certain circumstances, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just a waste of freaking money, and it's gotten out of control. It's really gotten out of control.
Well, there always is. I love that recent scientific study where they gave $10,000 or something to people and told them they had to spend it real quick, and then they wanted to measure their level of happiness and see if they were happier being able to spend money. Turns out that they were with the extra money. You know, big shock there. I'm sure you needed science to prove that theorem. I saw that. Did you see that story?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing what we spend our money on year after year that we absolutely see no return on whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's just a waste. I mean, and if they're going to, okay, Ukraine needs another $1 billion. All right, crank up the printing presses. I mean, if they can do that every time they want to, you know, build new infrastructure and build America back better than it ever was before, well, leave mine alone. I could really use mine for good stuff, like stimulating the economy by buying groceries.
Yeah.
And be a new car sometime, and furniture, and things that people, you know, need jobs to build and create and deliver.
Although I gotta say, the newest phase of the action in Ukraine is pretty ugly and really predictable. They're, you know, whacking out some infrastructure and putting some people in the dark right at the time when it is cold and dark in Ukraine. So, you know, look, just before we say anything else, I just want to say that I really hope our friend Amir is doing okay. I know he's been pretty angry with me lately and angry with other hosts on the network. But honestly, I hope he's all right and he's not in the dark and the cold right now, because a lot of Ukraine is. And I'm not begrudging the idea that we need to do stuff like that, but same time, it kills me when I see this frivolous waste, and yet there are people still. I mean, I know, the bleeding heart, right? I'd rather feed people, but I really would. I'd rather feed people than do half of the crap that the government just tosses money onto. So, you know.
Yeah, you look. Especially when you look at how people are being affected by just the inflation rates that are in effect. And, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you're seeing stuff, your average cost going up anywhere from 20% to 30%, you know, you start thinking long and hard about, you know, how much of my money is this government taking and to do what with? You know, I can understand, you know, foreign aid for somebody that's being attacked by Russia. Yeah, I can understand. Yes, we need to help out Ukraine in any way that we can. Although, you know, I'd like to see more of a military help. I don't know. Materials and methods, I guess, help, as opposed to just printing money. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, these people are getting ready to face a very harsh winter. And everybody could see this coming. You know, it was 6 months ago when they were talking about, well, taking out the infrastructure, you know, price of gas, everything's going up, heat and oil's going up, Russia's cut everybody off, so it's going to be a miserable winter. Well, it just got worse because turning up the infrastructure to the point that even if they had the gas or the ability to produce the electricity, they don't have any water, any wires to run it on. They're blowing everything up.
Yeah, right.
Now, don't be surprised. I don't know, a little prediction, but don't be surprised if you see Ukraine decide to take back Crimea. I have a feeling that's going to be happening since Russia's having a hard time holding things together over there. So, you know, we need to do something. The European Union needs to do something. They need to step up and start getting in a position to where some of this infrastructure can be put back in place for those people over there, because they're just going to die.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. A lot of people haven't been to Europe. I've been to Europe. I've been in Northern Europe in the wintertime, and it gets brutally, brutally cold over there mm-hmm. in a lot of places. And, right. you know, all we can do now is sit back and watch the effects of what we've let happen. So,
unfortunately, yeah. So there's that going on. Of course, Putin met this week with some mothers of soldiers for a photo op and all that. And that's ongoing. Meanwhile, the major controversy, which I don't understand at all, the sporting controversies that take place. You got the World Cup situation. And of course, there's all kinds of weirdness going on there, right? Some sort of a problem with, I don't know, Mexicans being racist or something. I didn't really delve into that story too much. Did you see that one?
Everybody in the World Cup is racist. I mean, because you're pulling for your own country, your own homies.
Well, see, that's what I said out of the gate when people were going, you know, the controversy between this and that, and some people are, you know, very prejudiced. I'm going, you're going to a sporting event where there's intense competitive feelings, and it's about your nationalism, is it not? So, you know, you're rooting for your country, not just a team that has some arbitrary name that you like or happens to be just close to you in your region, right? So this is all about nationalism. So
one amazing thing about the World Cup is that you have a lot of players from different parts of the world playing in different parts of the world because of these professional leagues, the Premier League, the Bundesliga in Germany, the Premier League in the UK. You have a lot of international stars that are playing for these teams that are scattered throughout the world. Now, when it comes to the World Cup, all these famous players go home and play for where they came from. It's an amazing thing because you see the power structure of these teams across Europe and South America suddenly go boom and everything changes. Some highlights of the World Cup so far, Ronaldo has been the first person to score a goal in 5 World Cup events. He's never done that before. Today, the United States took on England. They're both in the B group. They had to play each other. They've only played each other, 3 times before. So the U.S. had 1 win and 2 draws. Today was a draw, so we still haven't lost to the Brits. I guess that's the biggest good thing to come out of it so far. We pulled a draw with Iran. No, I'm sorry. We drawed with Wales. I'm sorry. First game with Wales. Okay. We had a draw with them. So we play Iran next. If we can win that one, then we move on to the next round. Two teams from this each group will go to the next round. So there's a good chance it could be England and the U.S. both move on. So we'll have to see. Other sporting events going on. We're winding down to the end of the college football season. Hockey season is picking up. What else?
Well, the Lions played somebody yesterday, right? I mean, I don't know. Would they play the Giants?
That game yesterday, that was one of the best football games this season.
Okay.
Detroit played their heart out. That was an excellent game.
Well, the Giants
say one of this year.
Yeah, the joke I once saw in a cartoon was that there was a lion, like a real lion that showed up somewhere, and the cartoon character looks at him and says, "Hey, shouldn't you be, because it was on Thanksgiving, he says, shouldn't you be in Detroit losing a game?" Which used to be the case, right? So, because didn't they always, like, lose the game, and somehow they were the traditional, like, there was always the Lions were going to play somebody on Thanksgiving Day, right?
They played the Bills yesterday. They lost 28-25. They lost it in the last few seconds of the game. That was a hard-fought game. Was really one of the best games of the season. And it's a shame the Lions lost because they played they played very well.
Fair enough. What can I say? I mean, again, I'm not a big sports guy at all, but interesting stuff, especially after the World Series. I was not pleased with the ending of the World Series with the Astros winning and all that, but, you know, what are you going to do? It is still holding that garbage can thing against them in my mind, but, you know, what are you going to do again?
You know. You're gonna do. I mean, at least, you know, they didn't steal any signs to win this one that we know of.
Well, not that we know of yet. I mean, you know, give it time. I mean, and after all, everybody forgot about the Patriots and all their chicanery, right? Deflategate.
Think about it, though, guys have been stealing signs in baseball since they've been using signs in baseball.
I know.
I mean, as part of the game, if you can guess their signs, and you know what pitch is coming. You've just figured out, you know, a part of the game. That's all. It's, I don't see where stealing signs, everybody tries to steal signs. It's crazy. Right.
I know, but it just gets to be a bit much when you win a World Series doing it. But anyhow, you know what I want to do? Yeah, what's that?
They do it every season, every game.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
The pitching coaches and the guys in the bullpen aren't watching everything methodically, trying to come up with, oh, no, one's got to be a fastball. One's got to be. Look at that. It's a fastball. I mean, they're picking this stuff up.
Yeah, I know. But when you're actually having to go through the trouble of doing that, and then maybe you figure out that your signs got stolen, and that, you know what I mean? There's something to it. But I don't know. The whole thing with signaling with the garbage can seemed to be a bit much because otherwise each player's – yeah.
Dichotomy of the pitcher versus the hitter. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it. Baseball comes down to that. You can have great outstanding plays in the field and long throws to get somebody out at second and all, but it all comes down to the pitcher and the hitter. And it's just a mind game, you know, for nine innings. And the pitcher's trying to throw the seams off the ball and the batter's trying to knock the snot out of it. I mean, that's what all it comes down to. So if you can figure out that, all right, when the catcher throws two twos and a one, and the next thing you see is a curveball, you pretty much figure it's a curveball. I mean, it's easy to figure out. These guys are too good at this not to.
You know, when I played Little League, I actually pitched, and the funny thing is that I usually misread my signs anyway, and I was just really throwing to target. And that was it. It was like where the catcher set up and moved to is where I threw to. That was it. Okay. I could see the glove, but I could not necessarily see the fingers. So that was a thing. They tried doing, you know, putting tape on his fingers too. So I could see it didn't work.
You know, the catcher is the one that really runs that whole deal because the catcher is used to every batter over the course of a season.
Mm.
These batters, the catcher's always there, but it may not be the same pitcher. So pitchers don't necessarily pitchers always remember who gets a home run off of
them,
okay, and what pitch they threw and what pitch they should have thrown. That's just part of the curse of, you know, having somebody take one out over the fence on you. But catchers, they know these batters. You know, they're there every pitch for every batter, regardless of who the pitcher is. So they can pretty much figure out where these guys' weaknesses are. You know,
well, plus it's not exactly memorable to a pitcher. The last, you know, if a guy got eight out of nine times he faced a guy, he's gotten a single, it doesn't necessarily stick out in a guy's mind. You know what I mean?
And why they call what they call, because they know this guy's a sucker for a screwball. They know this guy can't hit it inside, you know, fastball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... they play the game. They start massaging pitches to get it where they want, and then eventually, you know, get the guy to swing from the heels and miss.
Yeah, see, so, and like a lot of power hitters, you just bust them inside, and they can't extend, so they really never, even if they do, you know, get the bat on the ball, they don't get
jam them up.
You know,
they don't
yeah,
get their full swing off. You know, you're taking advantage of jamming them. So, I don't know. It's all methodical. My point is stealing signs are part of the game.
Mm. Okay, fair enough. Tell you what we're going to do, though. I do see we have a caller, but I want to take a quick break because I got to go and grab a drink, actually. You know, I went and I used the bathroom before the show, but forgot to grab a drink. So I'm going to take advantage of this time and go get myself a drink. But in the meantime, we are going to take more calls. I got one on the line. I'm going to get back to you as soon as we get over to the other side. And before we're done tonight, I do want to talk about the award show and the possible road trip next year, because I got a few people interested and excited, it seems, about this idea of let's all get together in Dallas, although somebody threw me a little curveball this week and talked about maybe getting together somewhere else. I think I'm going to stick with Dallas, but I'll bring up the whole thing with you, and we'll just kick it around for the rest of the show, and who knows, whatever the callers bring up, because you get the priority on new topic. When you call in, we will let you decide what you want to talk about, and we'll pass it around. 319-527-5016, 319-527-5016, or reach out to me, Charles Dottocelli, on Skype, and I can call you into the show. The Open Mic Friday Night continues after this on the Ocelli Effect.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Chili.com. There's no money in it, so
yeah, that is
that's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too. And look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain, okay? Because people want to support you, they love you to death, but honestly,
so if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show, and I want you to do this too, because you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Do you like history, real history, that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before, that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War.
By author Mike.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. By Larry Hancock.
Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks. Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Ocelli.com.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Friday night. We are live as I speak. Of course, you could be hearing this further on down the stream and all that. The podcasts are caught up at Ocelli.com now, but there weren't that many this week. Because Monday, my guest was ill. Tuesday, I had a missed meeting with with Christy, because first off, my internet went out, and she was going to come to the mic late anyway, so that didn't work out. Wednesday, we did a show. Thursday, nobody wanted to get together with me, so all we had this week was Aaron's show and my Wednesday, which wasn't bad. We had John Perkins and Joseph Green, and that's the Wild Card Wednesday. Of course, Nature Boy booked that. And I thought that was good. So we had the author of, you know, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and, did not realize that he was putting out a book again soon, like the third edition of that, and this one, it's about the economic hitmen that are from China. So anyway, and on the show, we talked about that a bit and how really, the Chinese are doing the same thing that the U.S. has always done in that regard, except, honestly, a little better. Okay? And they're not really relying on military force. They're doing other things. At the end of the day, I mean, it's the same loan sharking that you do with nation to nation anyhow, but they're doing it with a little less muscle, at least showing at first. So it's pretty successful, and they've kind of outpaced the U.S., since the fall of the Soviet Union. Anyway, and especially over the past two decades and super, super excellent work over the past decade the Chinese have done as far as going in and acquiring leverage over foreign nations. So, anyway, if you didn't catch that, it is available on the stream, on the feeds, and at the website now. So, anyhow, that happened, and you could be on the show now if you wanted to. Call in 319-527-5016. My co-host B. Pete is with me, or reach out to me, charles.ocelli on Skype, and I can call you into the show. But otherwise, 319-527-5016. And a guy I'm glad to see that we're hearing from is on the line now, so I'm going to bring him on live and see what he wants to enter into the discussion. How you doing, man?
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. How was your Thanksgiving, Jimmy James?
Well, that was pretty good.
Cool. Cool. I'm glad to hear anybody enjoys anything anymore. So, you know, did you have a family get together? Did you have friends? You go to a restaurant? What'd you do?
No, just us guys around the house had pot roast.
Well, pot roast ain't bad, and I bet you it was cheaper than the damn turkey.
Oh, yeah. Only bought it all ready with all the stuff, so just dumped it in the slow cooker. Came out perfect.
Mm. Oh, that's right. B. Pete, you did a Popeye's turkey, right?
No, I was going to do a Bojangles, but they didn't have them this year because of the price of turkeys.
Oh, they didn't? Oh, see, Popeye's had those things.
We don't have a Popeyes.
Oh, right. Yeah, North Carolina, you don't have too many. Well, I bet you do have them somewhere, but not.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Not Yeah, not anywhere low. I'd had gone over to Greenville, but I checked a couple Bojangles, and they were, well, I don't know. We haven't heard anything about it. And this was in October.
Oh.
And then, they, you know, come November, it's like, no, we're not going to carry them this year. But they were awfully good. Their seasoning that they use on their fillets and on their fries.
Well, I'll find out from Aaron and Uncle on Sunday how theirs was, because they were apparently doing the Popeyes one in California. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There might be a Popeyes over in Greenville. I don't think so. We had one years ago in Kinston, but it didn't do well, and it ended up closing up.
Yeah, but you got a handful of Bojangles over there, though, right?
We've got a local.
If you're anywhere near a Navy base or a Marine camp, for some reason they always have Popeyes.
Popeyes is often near Navy bases or Marine camps?
In them.
In them? Oh, I didn't know this.
Yeah, a lot of the commissaries at Exchange opened up to, like, food courts, and they'll let in, like, Subway, Chick-fil-A, Taco Bell. They'll go and set up these small restaurants that, like, the exchanges, you know. You see them combined with gas stations through North Carolina, the Subways.
Oh, I get you. Like a modular, kind of like a cut-down version of, like the little mini McDonald's they used to put into Walmarts. See, I recall that somebody told me years ago, now, again, I don't know this current information, but years ago they were putting Pizza Huts, I thought, into the military bases.
A lot of them, yeah. They put in a small, like a carry-out store.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a way for them. They can make money off the license to come off base, and then they get a percentage of the sales, but they don't have to put the product out there. You know, they're letting the name brands do it. So,
no, yeah. It's
for everybody.
So you were saying, Jimmy James?
20-some odd years ago when I was at Pearl Harbor, I used to always cross the street to Hickam Air Force Base to eat. Because the food was just way better. And they had their own Subway right there. You could go have your little sub made. They had Pizza Hut. Go have a little pizza. Meanwhile, across the way, you get your chop suey or you get nothing.
Mm. Yeah. There you go. So, better off, right? Anyways, I'm sure that's not all you wanted to talk about, but I was curious how it went. You had a pot roast. That's cool. I would have gone for that. I was thinking of trying to get one of those rib roasts or whatever, but we didn't wind up getting that. And the turkey thing was just looking too expensive, ridiculous, and I don't know. I almost feel like I should have tried to get a Popeyes. It might have been good, but I made a bunch of Italian food yesterday, and some chicken for everybody else. But I wound up just having a sandwich later because my stomach was a wreck. But I'm going to eat something today, I'll tell you that. When I'm done with the show, I got to eat something. Anyways.
Well, BP's right. All those big fast food, they're all in. They all got big contracts with the government. So if you're ever dishonorably discharged from the military, you can't even get a job at McDonald's because that crap would pop up.
Oh, wow.
Anyone that does business with the government, they won't.
I didn't even think of that. Wow. That's gotta suck. Cause I mean, one thing you can usually rely on is, you know, you can get a job at fast food even if, you know, you don't want to bring up, yeah, go ahead.
Burger King will take you.
Oh, Burger, well, they don't have government contracts, do they?
Some places they do, yeah.
Yeah? I don't know, I've never seen Burger King working with the government.
Depends on the location. Burger King is real big here in the South. Hardee's is real big here in the South. Even though they got bought out by Big Boys out in California. So, okay. Down here on most of the bases, you'll see the standard Kentucky Fried Chicken, Subway, McDonald's, Burger King, Hardee's, Pizza Hut. Although Pizza Hut's been hurting. COVID really hurt them in a lot of places.
Mm.
They closed the one there in Lexington, it finally opened back up. But they said, you know, until this is over with, we're just shutting down for the next year, year and a half.
Right. Well, COVID killed Chuck E. Cheese as well. I mean, the pizza sucked anyway, but, I mean, you brought your kids there to play. And
what killed Gold Al in Lexington, they shut their doors not to come back. And they were pretty busy. They had a lunchtime. I mean, they were always busy at lunchtime just because of the that they had for the buffet.
Fair enough.
But even in a small town like Lexington, you know, it was always busy. So, right, yeah, you never know. I guess the owners just it stretched them too far.
So, Jimmy James, what else is on your mind? Did you catch any of the live stream stuff where I dropped in a few surprise pieces over the weekend, some of the JFK-related stuff? Or
last Friday, I listened to Carmine's presentation live.
That was part of it. Mm-hmm.
Right now. Yeah, right now, like this time, last week, I listened to his.
Well, that's because I was recording it with him. Yeah, I was recording it with him at this time. That's why we didn't do the live show, because I was told, like, you know, listen, sorry, but this is the only time we can record it. And I said, okay. I wound up not doing it. I mean, I wasn't feeling well anyhow. And, you know, I just asked a handful of questions at the end, which you probably heard if you listened to the remainder of the, I don't know, about an hour, I guess, I played of it while we were recording it. So, you know.
Yeah, I kept listening till a old show, a different show popped up from earlier in the week.
Mm. Well, I thought you would find that presentation especially interesting, actually. So, you know.
No, I did. I'm very glad that Carmine's presented a lot of his findings, because every one of them's been sound by. I mean, I looked at the same stuff he did, and I have to say he's right when he comes up with something.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, look, regardless of the problems he had there, you know, last year and whatever, truth is research, when it is completed, is always very solid. I mean, nobody's perfect, but, you know, when he presents something, it's fairly reliable. And I went over this stuff with him, you know, a couple of years ago, a lot of the stuff that was in that presentation. And, so, I mean, I was well aware, and I find it fascinating. So, you know, just saying, it's interesting though, when you can, even in the official record, find something that should have been explored, that wasn't, right? So, you know,
that Hank Hill guy.
Yeah.
Remember how he was dressed? She said, he said, he was kind of wearing like a light colored suit, right?
Right.
And then I was just listening to some random, remember that Mercer woman's testimony? One of the three people she described was a huge guy wearing a light colored suit carrying the rifle.
Yeah, Julianne Mercer, outside of I don't believe she saw Jack Ruby, but I do believe she saw somebody. And the fact that Hill is, you know, 6'5" or 6", I mean, he's a tall guy. He's sticking out, first of all, and he's carrying that gun case. I don't know. It does line up kind of with Mercer's testimony. And, you know, except one thing, nobody ever saw him. Or nobody ever lined him up with a truck, or, you know, the truck that supposedly had the letters on the side of it and all that. But it's still interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of the bummer, that when she threw the Jack Ruby wrench into everything. But I just disregard that, because everything else, I mean, a lot of those guys on the bridges witnessed the truck, so there was a truck sitting there.
Oh, yeah, no, there was a truck there. Yeah. There was definitely a truck there.
She said that it was, when you look at her testimony, she says, oh, it's a huge, one of the three guys was a huge guy, light colored suit, carried the rifle and put on like a, you know, what I would call watch cap, like a black cap, and went toward the fence area. I'm like, well, that's gotta be Hank Hill.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's really, and he was only, it makes sense, the timing too, because on foot, he was only like 10 minutes from almost any location, you know. So, I mean, it makes sense if he had just gotten there and all that and he was still, you know, I don't know. It's interesting. I'll just put it that way. I'm not saying that she definitely saw him, but she could have. So, anyway, yeah, I find that interesting too. I might put out a couple, like a little composite extra on the, in the member section or something of some of the stuff that was recorded, some snippets from it from the weekend. Cause I ended up recording a bunch of stuff over the weekend. And unfortunately, that one just happened to be timed for the showtime here. So, but I thought it was important to get to. And, they played the video on Sunday. So, what are you going to do? Anyways, was there anything else that you wanted to bring up on your mind tonight?
Oh, I'm always down to talk to JFK. JFK, JFK. So on the thing of next year, I don't know where the guy said that. I'm wondering if whoever it was had what I had in mind. I was thinking we should meet in Florida and make the famous convoy.
Well, no, the other idea that was passed to me was this. There may indeed be a WECT conference in Pittsburgh. Now, are they going to do it?
If that was another thing I was wondering, is if that was going to overlap. Cause,
yeah. Yeah, see, now nobody's formally announced that yet, but apparently it's being worked out, you know, I mean... During the next month, somebody's going to start to figure this stuff out, and we're going to get solid information on, you know, when and where and all that, which hotel it'll be at in Dallas. And if indeed there is a WECT conference, you'll probably hear about it right around Christmas time. But my argument to that person was, for socialization purposes, if we're going to take a group and get together, especially if we're going to have, you know, one group come from California and one group come from the East Coast, and Carmine is going to come down from Michigan. You know, why not everybody in Dallas? Because that's a better place for everybody to be. Pittsburgh kind of sucks for getting together with people. I mean, I know the conference will guaranteed have, you know, some heavyweights and some interesting presentations, which, you know... Lancer might have some of the same people even, cause they might fly from Dallas to Pittsburgh or Pittsburgh to Dallas. But I don't know. You know, you know, it's a more interesting conference almost in Pittsburgh, but I feel like I want to buy the DVDs of that and go to Dallas.
He only does it 10 years and, barring he's a centurion. I mean, this might be the last one.
It could be, but again, you know, can you beat the idea? Let's just say you come along. Can you beat the idea of, say, you, me, you know, BP, Carmine, all getting together in Dealey Plaza? You know, can you beat that idea going to Pittsburgh? I don't know. You know, which author or witness is he going to have that's going to be worth us not being able to do that, or say either go on the bus tour or arrange a little tour ourselves of surrounding areas of interest, you know, go to the movie theater, right? Go to the rooming house, this kind of stuff.
We might have to go to Dealey Plaza sooner than later. Have you guys heard about those goofy Dallas? They want to totally... screw up Dealey Plaza.
Well, what do you
turn it to their version?
Well, I haven't heard about this.
Turn it to their version, huh?
Well, Dealey Plaza technically is under the control of the park services, right? So, what are they trying to do? I haven't heard about this yet.
Oh, some weird architect clown in Dallas is submitting plans and getting funds and trying to. He wants to destroy the whole place, as he puts it, like, where the vulgar, first thing, he wants to block the whole thing off. He wants to change everything. He wants to put red pools of blood where, as he puts it, the vulgar white X's are now. He wants to totally facelift all the buildings, this and that, basically destroy the whole crime scene. And I said, no, how about no? Why don't you go to Washington, D.C.? Go remodel Ford Theater, you freak.
Yeah, well, do that or build a mini Dealey Plaza in Las Vegas or something. Get the hell off of the historic site, you know? Bad enough, they've already altered it some. I can't go for that either.
The stool's gone. Zapruder's stool has been stolen. What a bunch of a-holes.
What? It's been stolen?
It's gone. It's destroyed. Last I heard.
You're kidding me.
What's that?
He's saying that Zapruder's... Okay, you know that little pylon that Zapruder was standing on?
Yeah, the little piece of the...
Yeah, it's...
up there that came...
Right.
That wall.
He's saying that somebody stole it.
Somebody stole it?
I don't know. Are you sure? Jimmy James, I didn't read about this. I think this would have made some bigger news, no?
Thing was made out of granite. How the hell is it?
Well, look.
I think they smashed it during all that protesting in 2020. So guy just said that he went there like last year and the things ain't there.
That can't be. That would have made a serious news story. And if you're talking about the year that, I guess it was 2020, all those Q people showed up there, right? Was that last year? I think that might have been last year because...
3 years ago.
Well, see, Joan...
No, I had that 2 years ago, I think.
Okay, because here's an inside piece. Well, here's a little inside piece of information, right? Is that last year when I was, again, participating in some of the presentations, right? I was asked if, you know, I could join Joan Mellon on hers. Now, she didn't present, and I'll tell you why. She freaked out last minute because she turned on her TV and saw all the Q people there waiting for JFK Jr. to show up. And, she got all upset and was like, you know what? Screw all of you. This is what you people have become. And we're trying to explain to her, you know, look, we're not associated to those people in the plaza. What, you know, can't help what people are doing over there. And, she was just like, yeah, to hell with all of you. And refused to do the presentation. because she saw that on TV and that was last year. So I don't know. I have not heard anything about the Zapruder's perch being gone. BP, maybe you could do a little search.
I just did a Google search. I haven't found anything on it. I would think that there'd be news if somebody got in there and started doing damage to the granite steps and the wall that comes down along there. So
yeah, definitely.
I'll keep looking for it, but I'm going to Google Earth right now and see what current pictures show.
Cool. Well, I know a couple of years ago there was some controversy because some nut was breaking off chips of the depository and selling them on eBay. I know that happened, but that was like 5 years ago. And it didn't even really make big news, but they threatened some serious prosecution because, again, it's defacing a U.S. monument of sorts because it's under the parks and it's under the Parks Department, Dealey Plaza.
That's what I would think. I would think it would be like a national historic landmark.
Well, it is.
How can you go and monkey with it like that?
Well, it is, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, look, it's not murder, but it's a pretty serious thing. You go defacing a national landmark. you know. So, I don't know, man. I have not heard about Zapruder. I mean, somebody, you know, every couple of years, I hear a story about something like crazy. You know, they stole the plaque or, you know, whatever. And most of the time, it turns out to be rumor, Jimmy James. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I haven't heard anything about it, you know? So, I don't know, but every couple of years it seems like something comes up like that. And even when I went to Dealey Plaza in 2017, I had people writing to me, hey, isn't this or that missing now? You know, didn't they steal this or that? And usually it was like, no, I was there. I just saw it, you know. Didn't they take out that manhole cover? No, it's still there. The one that's, you know, in the grass? No, it's there, you know.
According to Google Earth, it's still there.
Okay. Right.
The most.
Yeah, but those things, these pictures taken 10, 20 years ago.
No.
I looked at my own house and seen a car that I had like from a long time ago.
Well, I don't know. Google Earth, in a lot of cases, they update every so often. Although I will tell you that the house in North Carolina that I used to live in, we looked at it on Google Earth and did that whole, you know, you can kind of walk around the neighborhood deal a couple of months ago. And when we did, we still saw our dog in the front yard, you know. And I moved out of there in 2015. And I was like, okay. It's an older picture there, but... yeah, although when I do Google Earth on some other locations where I've been at recently, they're right up to date. So, I don't know, mixed results, but I'm thinking somebody would take note of it if something like that was destroyed. I'm thinking that at least the Dallas Morning News or whatever, local TV would definitely cover it. And
on it.
Yeah.
I mean it's so famous because that's where Zapruder's perch was.
Right. I mean, I know there's been some damage to this or that, and then also they stole a lot of boards out of the picket fence. I know that happened, that they had to replace the boards on the picket fence, a bunch of them. So a lot of the boards that are there now are not the originals. But that was, you know, just something that happened over the years. And I think that was before it was declared a landmark and all that. Before they put in the sixth floor museum, I think people stole the pieces of the picket fence.
Well, you know, it's
back then.
When did Dealey Plaza become designated part of the Park Service?
I don't know. I'd have to look that up because I know in. I want to say in 93, it was not yet declared that. 92, 93, when I went to Dallas the first time, but yeah, I guess it was 92, right? Yeah, 92, I guess. I went to Dallas the first time, but I didn't actually get into Dealey Plaza or go to a conference. Cause I was there to talk to people and they didn't live, you know, near Dealey Plaza. So my time was spent going other places. I don't think that was there yet. I don't think that was a declared area yet.
Dealey Plaza Historic District was named a National Historic Landmark on the 30th anniversary.
Okay, so that would have been 93.
Yeah, to preserve Dealey Plaza, street right-of-ways and buildings and structures by the plaza visible from the assassination site that have been identified as witness locations for possible locations for the assassin.
Okay, so I'm right about the fact that it wasn't declared that in 92. Okay, but yeah. Yeah, I know it wasn't in 90. Okay, good. Because they did it the following year. All right. Fair enough.
Says the former county courthouse is individually listed on the National Register. It's also designated as a state antiquities landmark and a recorded Texas historic landmark. Additional properties within the district are also... recorded Texas historic landmarks. The following are contributing properties and other significant buildings within the historic district. So you got the school book depository, the Dow Tech building,
mm-hmm.
Dallas County Records, the building, Records Building Annex, Dallas County Criminal Courts building, the old Dallas County Courthouse.
The Red Courthouse,
United States Post Office Terminal Annex and the Union Terminal Company interlocking tower near Pacific Avenue and the railroad yard. So all of that apparently is in the area that you just can't tear it down.
Right. Well, okay. So that's the tower where Lee Bowers was. And, it just sits there, right? And, yeah. Is the bridge listed too?
Yes, triple underpass.
Okay.
West edge of Dealey, the convergence of Elm, Main, and Commerce Streets, the unpainted concrete railroad overpass was constructed by the Works Progress Administration along with other original amenities at Dealey Plaza. The Art Deco style facility features square balusters and square columns reminiscent of other structures within the park.
I'll tell you what was interesting when I walked under the triple overpass and walked all the way to the other side. there's like a ladder that goes up the side of the thing, and it's one of those deals where it's almost as if somebody took big metal staples and, like, you know, stuck them into the cement and yeah, made it so you could climb up, right? And I noticed that, you know, that did not look like it was very much used by anybody because it was all, like, overgrown with brush and stuff. And so I think they probably end any of their, you know, curating of the area, any of their cleaning it up or, you know, like tending to the ground, probably ends at the triple overpass because, I mean, if so, nobody's doing their job on the other side of the triple overpass because it was like a mess, you know, overgrown and garbage on it and everything.
He wanted to mess with the roads, too. He wants Elm Street to be completely blocked off, for instance, and he wanted to mess with that overpass.
Yeah, well.
So I would say anyone that's interested in Kennedy or whatever should write the city of Dallas. You can find his article if you Google it, and you, for reference, it's tell him, hell no.
Well, again, I think you might do better writing to the Parks Department, the U.S. Parks Department, because they should be in control of the site. Yeah.
Another thing that figures into this, on November 22nd, 2003, the mm-hmm. 40th anniversary of the JFK assassination, the city of Dallas approved construction project plans to restore Dealey Plaza to its exact appearance on November 22nd, 1963.
Yeah.
The first phase of the restoration, which spent $700,000 for repair work and plumbing along Houston Streets, was completed on November 22nd, 2008, the 45th anniversary. So, I mean, if they've gone in now to where they're restoring the thing back to the way it was in 63, I doubt somebody's going to go and haul off Zapruder's pedestal.
Well, the other thing is that by the time the 50th came about, there was another project that was supposed to be, you know, there doing restoration, and there was arguments about even pruning the trees and this kind of stuff, and they were going to try and, you know, restore it to exactly the condition it was in that day and all these things. So I know there was work done right before the 50th, too. See, that's the thing. I really hope that, you know, this guy doesn't somehow get any of that through, but I don't see how he can without, again, the U.S. government deciding to go along with it. And, you know, it is the – and the city of Dallas shouldn't support it either because, again, I mean, I know they got the Cowboys and whatever, but you mean to tell me that you don't realize that's one of your biggest tourist attractions possible?
Well, not only that, that pergola, the Bryan pergola, mm-hmm. which is the one on that side, it was the fencing along it, everything was restored in 88.
Right.
So they're, you know, they're going through the steps to try to turn this thing back to what it was and keep it that way.
Yeah, slowly
which
but
is
surely.
A good thing.
Slowly but surely they should. And the only thing that's interesting here is there's also some argument with the engineers about, because they've obviously done some paving over the road over the years, and what's that?
Several times.
Yeah.
It's been resurfaced several.
Right. I mean, just factually, it would have to have been. And the thing is, they might have changed the pitch, you know, of the road and this and that, and I think somebody should go in there and do those measurements proper, too, and have somebody properly restore it. You know, what can I say?
Yeah.
I think that's
like that big chunk of the sidewalk that they stole, and then they just replaced it with, and it wasn't the same. And then they deny doing it, even though they're on film doing it. What's the film bit? No, we didn't. Yeah, you did. We have you on film doing it.
That's the hilarious thing, is that I think even a TV station filmed them with a jackhammer out there, right? You know, it's like...
Yeah, they filmed the whole thing. And yeah. The FBI, no, never happened.
Yeah, well, see, there you go again. Weisberg actually sued him a couple of different times and finally got, what was it, the plate or whatever, but they never came up with the piece of, you know, the piece of concrete, you know. But, they came up with the stuff from the testing. I don't know, there's something for it. There's a, I can't think of it right now, but he got some of the materials that were used to, or at least, the photographs of said materials. That were used, but the actual piece of concrete, which he wanted to examine, I think. I don't think he ever got that in his FOIA, but he got materials that prove that they absolutely took a piece of this and tested it. You know. But, yeah, no, and I've had people tell me that the manhole cover's been, you know, covered over, and again, I saw it in 2017. It was still there then. I can't speak for it now, but, we all go back there in 2023, we can all verify this ourselves. You know?
We better get there sooner than later, or else Bowers Tower might be a Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, you know, yeah, but that's supposed to be left alone, according to what I understand about the different agreements over the years. But, you know, again, if there's somebody, I mean, I imagine that somebody's going to try and do different things with that plaza over and over again. And, you know, much as I don't like the sixth floor museum, I'd prefer that to having, you know, something like what you're talking about with this architect taking it over and screwing it all up. That's for sure. You know, especially if they're going to preserve the majority of the site. You know, obviously, you can't go near the window or any of that stuff with the plastic box around it, and they put in, you know, the boxes and all that. But I'd rather have that than have it destroyed. That's for sure. So, anyway, I don't know if anything else is on anybody else's mind, but you can join us 319-527-5016. That's happening, and we've got about, 42 more minutes or 43 more minutes left in the show. So you can join us, 319-527-5016. And I guess, you know, day after Thanksgiving, everybody's sleeping. I don't know. Is the chat room active, BP? I didn't look.
Let's see. I was busy surfing there for a minute. Christy's in the room. Faze is in there. Let's see. Let's see who else is in there. That's who I'm seeing posting here.
Yeah, I saw. Okay, now I'm looking. Christy, Phase Shifter.
Yeah.
Christy's talking about having to pee while in traffic.
Hold your breath. Think empty.
Oh, and just a quick note between me and one listener, Phase Shifter. Nothing arrived. I just want you to know that. Okay. Leave it at that. I don't know why. But, and also, oh, that reminds me, actually. Couple of people wrote to me, and if you have not received your stickers that you were supposed to receive after Selection Day, email me again, and I will double-check that they were sent out to you. Because I double-checked one and made sure that it was, and then it turned out they found it. And I've got one that I'm going to resend. So I don't know what's going on with the Postal Service at all, but I will send out your stickers again if you didn't get them. Okay, so write to me, blindjfkresearcher@gmail.com, and include your address again, so I'll double-check. Make sure it's the same address as last time. I'm probably going to destroy the addresses soon, because that's what I usually do, which is why I'm always requesting somebody's address again. I don't keep records, okay, because I just don't want that. I don't want that problem. I'm not going to harvest your data. I'm not going to sell your address, none of that crap. So I destroy them after I'm done using them. But I'll double check and make sure that I sent them out, and then I'll be done with it probably by the end of the month. So write to blindjfkresearcher@gmail.com if you didn't receive your stickers. Thanks. Anyways, and I know I also have a couple of people that, you know, it wasn't predicated on a donation that I still owe a couple of stickers to and stuff. Those are going out this week. All right. But while I do that, I'll resend if you didn't receive them yet and you were supposed to. Okay. Anyways, what else you got, B. Pete? I mean, do we have some other news we want to cover, or do you want to talk about this 10-year deal, which definitely I still want to talk about, and I'm thinking about, you know, how we're going to do it. One way or another, I'm doing this, by the way, and it'll be on a Friday night like this. So, you know, I'm thinking that maybe I should re-release some shows, remind people of stuff, and we're still going to have to brainstorm about the categories. All right, we got a couple of good ideas, and I got those written down somewhere. Not in front of me at the moment, but I got some of the ideas written down. I think we'll come up with 10 categories and give out 10 awards. What do you think, BP? Do you had any thoughts on that lately?
No, I'm just looking over notes we took last week or week before last. Mm. Yeah, we got maybe 3 or 4 good categories out of here. We need to come up with the rest. Yeah, we just need to start bouncing ideas back and forth. Nothing else, just type message during the week. How about right. this? How about that? How about this?
Right, right. So,
you want to get? Have you discussed this with Nature Boy?
Oh, the awards thing.
Yeah.
Not yet, but he's going to have to get involved because I'm thinking that we'll do a video presentation, and we're now reworking our video idea because the one. Streaming service we were trying to use wasn't working properly for us somehow.
Well, he'd have some good ideas for something like this, so.
Yeah, definitely. But I say we get him on one of these Friday nights, one of the Friday nights he wants to join, and see where he goes with it, and, you know, we'll put everybody's ideas together, though, you know?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Definitely.
And like I said, I think it would be a lot of fun if we all go to Dallas. You know, as many people as can.
I think the trip to Dallas is well deserved, and it's not going to be. I mean, it's dying out in popularity. So if you can do it on a major anniversary, and this would be the one to do it.
Right.
I think that's definitely we need to consider that and plan that one out.
Right, and Mike Swanson will join us there, not for the road trip, but he'll probably fly there. So I already talked to him about it. He's, you know, like he's not, you know, absolutely certain about it, but sounded like a good idea to him. So he would probably join us, though, and pretty sure Carmine said he's going. So, you know, there's a couple of guys who are of interest that could be there. And, you and me alone. Plus, I don't know, you know, is Captain Trips, what do you think? You think he's gonna come along with us? Have you heard anything from him yourself?
No, I haven't. That would be, you know, if he's got the time that can do it. I know he's got a lot of
right.
family obligations, if he's, cause that's just a due west trip for him, he could meet us at your place. And all go, you know, together. We just have to get us a big ass van.
Well, I was thinking, yeah, a minivan. And look, obviously, I can't share the driving. I mean, I could, but I don't think you guys want that. What's that?
I said, let's get a tour bus.
Oh, and hey, look, that's a whole other level. I was thinking, just rent a minivan. You know, just something.
Yeah, I know, but I was thinking, you know, sleeping accommodations. Hell, we could live on the bus. You wouldn't have to get a hotel room.
Well, there's another option. the Ocelli, you know, Georgia to Texas tour.
You give you somewhere to escape to, you know, when they chase you out of the hotel lobby because you're trying to sell Walt Brown. Judith in her own words books during a conference.
I am going to contact him about that, though. I'm serious. Because
up in the books.
I want a box of books to bring over to her conference, really. I mean, seriously. Like,
tell him, say, hey, not talking. BP said that that'd be the perfect opportunity to hawk your books. We need a box.
Yeah, we need a box, and I'll throw down a blanket right in front of her hotel like I'm a street vendor.
I can get 100 proceeds unless we need to pay bail out of them, but then that's just a loan, so You know, 100% of the proceeds go to him.
There you go. Yeah. See, Jimmy James, you would come with us just to witness that part of it, wouldn't you?
Oh, I want to go.
Stop over.
Lord willing, and Lord willing, I'm alive, and the creeks don't rise. I mean, it's a year off.
Well, you'd come with us to Judy's conference and sit outside with a blanket on the street and try and sell Walt's book, right?
No, I'm talking a table in the lobby.
Oh, you want to try and get a table in the lobby?
Yeah, I mean,
oh, I'd go there for the bus of the books amongst the people. Say, hey, want to buy this book, kid?
Well, pretty much, that's what I'm thinking.
I was going to pay the vendor fee to be able to put up a table. And then she can't complain. Say, hey, I paid my money. I've got a right to sell my goods just like everybody else. I have Walt's book here on sale.
So what do you think, 10 minutes before they throw us out anyway? I mean,
I don't think they could. I mean, that would be, because you're paying the hotel for the space, so I don't know that, I'm sure. Well, I'll check into all that, trust me. If I have to, pre-post my table just to save money to get them there quicker, say, hey, I've already paid you guys, get here in 5 minutes. That kind of thing. If you have to grease some palms, you do that. But I'll definitely check in. But I don't see why I can't get, vendor space just like anybody else that wants to put up a display or something. I just tell them I'm selling JFK related.
What about Judy's goons? She's probably going to have a goon squad there, and they probably all speak Russian.
Oh, all right, you get a couple extra security personnel standing there, and if they, want to thump a couple people for getting too close, let them be as rabid as they want. Just sell more books. Might make the news.
See, now somebody's got to be smart to call local TV, though. And you got to come down to the conference at exactly this time. Make sure this TV camera's rolling on it.
Posted by Judith Baker, an individual named BP, who decided to sell books that were derogatory towards her claims.
I think technically we'd be paying her. See, because she could just turn around and go, look, I'll refund your money, or her representative. We'll refund your money, get out of here. I think they might do that because technically they have control of the space because they pay the hotel and you're paying them, right?
And you immediately walk outside, take off your outer shirt, exposing a t-shirt that says banned at Judith Con, and you start selling your books there. You've already been banned from the place, so you're selling something. It must be a hot item if they're banning you from the premises.
Oh, he's got all kinds of plans. I love this.
Make Judy shirts. You can make Judy a shirt. But I was Oswald's lover, and all I got was a stinky shower shoe.
Get a shirt with a picture of Oliver Stone with a voice bubble that says, "I lied, Judith."
I don't know if anybody else finds this funny, but I find this hilarious.
Well, it gets closer, and we're gonna plan something. I mean, there's no point in going to Dallas unless we're gonna enjoy it, right? But what would be more enjoyable than crashing Judas' party?
Nothing at all in my mind. Tell you what we're gonna do is take a quick break. And, again, we still got time to take calls from everybody. We got about a half hour left in the show. So time to hear from you out there. 319-527-5016 is the number to call, or reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli on Skype, and I can call you into the show. We better keep some of this under our hats, though, if we're planning on, or maybe I don't release this podcast,
Simply plaster the hotel with the wanted poster I made a few years ago.
Oh my god. Stick around, the third and final segment of the Ocelli Effect. We'll be with you after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Uncle, do you remember that time when the year 2012 was going to create the apocalypse, end of the world?
Right. And I thought it would come to the end.
Did it ever end up that way?
No.
Yeah.
Like we say, the only way it will end is when he is ready for it to end. That's how it is.
So if you want the real truth about 2012, you better listen to the Ocelli.com radio network.
Radio podcast.com.
Yeah, forget John Cusack.
John Cusack
doesn't know what he's talking about.
Know what he's talking actually about. Correct.
But we here at the Ocelli Radio Network sure do.
Do you sure understand and understand where it's actually coming from?
Ocelli.com.
I want them.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools?
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia.
By author Mike Swanson. With new documentation never seen before. That'll open your eyes to events that led up to this.
Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia. 1945 through 1961.
Get your copy today at Amazon.com.
Why? The Vietnam War
by author Mike Swanson.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Revelation through conversation.
Third and final segment of the Ocelli Effect tonight here on a Friday. Still, we got open lines. Jimmy James has called in, and look, we could just have Jimmy James call in every week, every time we take calls, and that's fine. But you guys can call in too. 319-527-5016. If you're hearing us live, that is. on the 25th day of November 2022, allegedly. If you're hearing us live on that day, then you can call in for, 20-something minutes, whatever it is. We'll end around on time tonight, because I'm gonna try and get some things done around here that I have not been able to get done. Do want to let people know that Mrs. O was cooking with me yesterday, so I wasn't cooking by myself. But the point I was trying to make is that after cooking, I didn't want to eat anything because my stomach's been a wreck. But it wasn't, you know, because I didn't like the food I cooked. It's just, you know.
Now you're blaming it on Mrs. O.
No, I'm not blaming it on her at all. My stomach's been a wreck. There's something going on there, actually. I'm not going to go into details right now. I don't want to, you know, whatever. But I mean, I had problems for the past couple of weeks with my gut. So, anyways, it is what it is. I'm getting it straightened out. And I'm pretty sure in a few days I'm going to be fine. But
I was just breaking.
Yeah, no problem. But the thing is, I like cooking with her. Actually, I like when we both work in the kitchen together on stuff. Stuff comes out better that way.
Can't wait till I get a kitchen.
Oh yeah, you're still you're still working on putting that in, right?
I've moved cabinets all day today. It rained all morning, so. Mm-hmm. Trying to get out and to get any yard done while it was soaking wet. I said, well, this is a perfect day to work inside. So I've been moving cabinets into two rooms and getting them lined up so that when I get ready to put them in place, I can move them a unit at a time. And now I'm trying to figure out what to do with an old stove, an old dishwasher, and a sink and counter getting ready to rip out tomorrow.
Okay.
So it's been fun.
Well, I'll tell you, it was cold and rainy here early this morning, but the rest of the day dried up a bit, thankfully. But it was like one of those cold morning rains.
It rained hard this morning. I was amazed. I went to go get laundry, go by the grocery store when I got back. Stuff had tapered off, but I thought, you know, it's perfect weather for working in the yard, but everything was just so soaking wet. So we'll get on that tomorrow, get all these oak tree leaves up and trying to get some mowing done.
You know, Jimmy James, at the conference, something came up that I figure you would be interested in as well with the JFK stuff. The lawsuit, which is now being, put against the Biden administration generally, related to not releasing the documents, although they had to cite in it, guess what, that the Trump administration also did not release the documents. And all that kind of stuff. But there's actively a lawsuit trying to, get the administration, the executive branch, to comply with the JFK Records Collection Act. Did you know about that?
Did they ever come up with a number of records that Trump held back? You know, he was going to release some, or he was going to release them all, then he was going to release some.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was going to release a certain amount, but they pulled some of them back.
Well, he did release some. He did release a bunch. Right. Yeah.
Number of what's left, or what they think is left?
Yeah, there's a couple of good estimates about it, but to be honest with you, I don't believe them. Even among the best people, I don't necessarily believe that they know exactly the documents that haven't been released. You know, I've seen some people,
odd copies might be in some outline file somewhere that they don't know about. So therefore they couldn't say, oh, well, yeah, that's definitely one that needs to be let go. Well, I don't think, I'll be honest with you, I don't honestly think we'll ever see all of the documents. I mean, mainly because some of them have already been destroyed and are gone forever. We'll never see those. But I don't think they'll ever release all of them.
Well, there's that, there's a bunch of problems here, and let's break it down real fast before I get to Jimmy James' comments on this. Is, one problem is, look, what we're talking about that they're saying release already is the stuff that was collected by the, Record Review Board, but they ran out of time and didn't get a bunch of things they requested too. Okay? And so there's a bunch of things that were never collected that should have been. you know, from public and private hands both, that just simply they ran out of time. So there's that. All right. And those, that number is unknown. I don't care what anybody tries to tell you. Nobody knows that number. Okay. And secondly, there is this grouping of stuff that was withheld at the last minute because of these requests from the different agencies. And here's an interesting argument that the lawyers are making in this case is that they didn't comply with what was necessary to even request the further withholding of the documents. When Trump approved it in the first place, they were supposed to specifically outline which documents and why each one was to be continued to be withheld. Okay?
Yeah.
They did not do it, or at least there is no record of them doing that. All right? And the Trump administration, through his people and through his directive order, just complied with the request to withhold without them following the proper procedure. And guess what? The Biden administration, immediately following the Trump administration, did the same damn thing. Where, except, here's the exception. There was an oversight committee meeting that the Trump administration, I don't think, held at all. And then they also added on the excuse of COVID being a problem for them not being able to get together on this and actually do the proper oversight. So both administrations, one way or another, have effectively turned around and just said, screw it, even though this law was passed and even though we're supposed to comply with it and it's the executive branch's responsibility, they didn't do it.
So
either administration.
How far is this suit? I mean, are they in a circuit court or are they in a, is this something that's been decided they're appealing or is this just a brand new lawsuit?
This has been entered with some judge in some court and I'm a little confused because it got turned away in one, like they had to start in a certain place and I got a little lost and I got to go back over the presentation myself. Because I think it wasn't Bill Simpich. Bill Simpich is involved in this. But the guy who presented it at the conference had all the documents showing, look, here's us bringing it to the judge. Here's the judge's response, all of it. And frankly, I got a little lost there. And I'm not sure where it sits currently because I was just observing how this procedure works. And I knew that they did not follow procedure properly. But I couldn't prove it because I didn't have the documents. There was no way at the zero hour that they came to him and said, you know, these 10,000 things, which, I mean, 10,000 would not be a bad estimate of the amount of documents at a minimum that have been, you know, continued to be withheld. Estimate, I say again, I don't think anybody's got the right number. But even if I'm only half right and it's 5,000 things, there is no way in hell that within the course of a couple of days or a day, which is when allegedly they made the request, right, to please continue to withhold this stuff, there's no way that anybody went through 5,000, 10,000, 1,000, or even 200 documents and gave specific reasons that make any kind of sense for why it should be continued to be withheld. It's not possible. Okay.
Well, maybe
the same guy that put a kibosh in it on Trump is the same guy that's doing it in Biden. It's the National Archivist.
Okay, but you know what?
He is the one.
It's not the same guy. It's not the same guy. It's the same office. You know what happened? The guy who was there when Trump made the request has retired. So there was an additional delay there. Yeah.
Oh, well, it'd be a different guy, but it's the same policy.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the same policy. The law still applies. They're in violation of their law. That's the bottom line. That both the Trump and Biden administration have violated the law.
Well, I got a question for both.
Yeah, they do it every day, though.
Oh, I know that. I know this, but I'm just saying. Yeah.
At first, when I heard about this, I totally dismissed it because you can't sue a sitting president for his actions as president. However, as you said, there's the take care clause in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
The president's the guy who is supposed to enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as you say, they're breaking the law. So I don't know how this is going to work out.
Well, I got a question for both of you. Do you honestly think
people are making the same argument about the border? Please enforce the border, and Biden ignores that too, and he's in violation of his constitutional duties there.
Well, again, if somebody can show that he is, prosecute him. I don't believe this crap about you can't bring a sitting president to court. Prosecute him. Impeach him first, then prosecute him.
You can't. Yeah, you got to remove him from office, and then you can prosecute him.
Yeah.
But no, you can't obviously prosecute. The president isn't de facto the chief law enforcement officer, the chief prosecutor. You get it? See the problem?
Yeah, well, but the separation of powers means to me that one of the other branches can. But anyway,
no.
I know I'm not the only one that made that argument. So,
no, there's things that the Supreme Court could sure as heck do something. Yes, they should compel the president to release these documents and to do his job, enforce the law, protect the citizens.
Well, that's the thing, though, is if it, I think it changes when there is a clear violation of a law. And this is pretty clear. And you know, again, it's not like the greatest criminal conspiracy in history or anything. But the fact is
We got 6 million documented illegal aliens under his time. That's a lot of, about 6 million cases of failure to do his job, to enforce the law right there. This guy, he doesn't care about the law, clearly. He just did the student debt thing, knowing perfectly well it's going to get overturned, but he lied in order to get younger people to vote, and it worked.
Well, as of right now, they're just saying that the lawsuits are, you know, in progress, and that's put a hold on it. But anyway, we do have another caller, and I want to get to him before we run out of time. So let's do that. And you're live, man. How you doing?
How's it going?
It's going. What's happening, man? It sounds like you're outside somewhere.
Yeah, all right. I'm pulling over now. No, I just wanted to get everyone's take on how each administration seems to have a policy that they won't touch the previous one when the new one's installed, and the legalities of all that, because it seems to be the case for a very, very long time.
No, that's always my argument, but, you know.
Well, look at Biden. Biden's compromised. Trump was the absolute enemy of all these bureaucrats. I mean, that's the problem. They're all vulnerable in different ways to these people.
Mm. And yet...
Let me put it out here to all of you, and that's
sure.
Based on the stuff that hasn't been released yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm under the opinion that anything that is going to directly name somebody has already been purged from the system. So it's a question of what amount of embarrassment is the government trying to conceal? Is it the fact that Oswald was being used by several agencies for certain things? Is it they're covering for somebody who I don't know if anybody's still alive that they could be covering for? But is there somebody who is no longer with us that they just have to protect that reputation beyond all avenues? I mean, what is it? Do you think they're going to find anything in any of these documents that are left?
Well, let me just go at it first, because I want to say something about that last thing you said. It pisses me off, because this is the thing that a whole lot of people go, oh, it's about George H.W. Bush right there. That's why they want to protect him. And I really find that whole argument so illogical. It's not even funny, but there are people that believe it. And what can I say? I'll tell you that definitively, I can't even answer the question you're asking. Because I don't know what it is that they're trying to keep. Because in my opinion, just like I'm sure you share it, B. Pete, the really harmful stuff is probably not there. You know, the
exactly.
thing that... So I don't know what they're trying... I mean, look, it's interesting some of the things that we've gotten out of these records, okay? Some things that aren't even directly related to the case that we found out by reconstructing different things from these records. You know, I mean, there's some weird stuff about, you know, Nazis that we found out about that were working with the CIA. We have, you know, all kinds of weird things that we've learned about this. I mean, the Operation Northwoods document came out because of this. All right? You yeah. know, a lot of weird stuff. I don't know what they're trying to hide. That's the strangest part of it, because I think if there ever was, which I doubt there was, but if there ever was a document that pretty much said, look, we know who did it, this is who it is. if that ever existed, somebody destroyed that a long time ago. And I doubt it existed in the first place. Yeah.
Is it possibly that they're fighting to release these things just because they want to keep the aura of these things that are secret there to serve a purpose?
I think the CIA likes that the people think. I think the CIA likes the people think that they did it. They like it.
Well, see, you know what? I tend to agree with you on that, Jimmy James, and I'll tell you something else. I think that the most horrible conclusion, and nobody's going to like this, the most horrible conclusion that we might be able to reach, and the only thing that I could think of that they would want to hide in the rest of this documentation, is that the truth, the actual truth, is that our government is not aware of who really pulled this off. That despite more than half a century, almost 60 years now, that they indeed do not know the true solution. They got to stick to the lone gunman, but they don't actually know. They don't know.
I think there's a whole lot of truth in that. Have you heard that French president guy that in 1976 during our bicentennial, he was the president of France and he was riding with Ford and he said, okay, I got to ask, do you really believe the Warren Commission? And even Gerald Ford, and this is the president of France, former president of France, he said that Gerald Ford said, no, it's a conclusion. It's not the total conclusion. The truth is that someone was after Kennedy, and we just couldn't really establish unto ourselves who. Or
so
like
Gerald
that.
Ford changes the bullet in the back of JFK's back as well.
Well,
let's not forget that.
He did that in his little book, I believe, that followed the Warren Commission.
Well, he was on the Warren Commission. So, you know, and there you go. He did change his draft.
Yeah, but the drawing he put in that crazy book, right?
Well, no, he put that's the statement in, and it was found in his papers that he literally is the pen that changed that from the back to the back of the neck. He's the guy who changed that statement.
Yeah, he moved the bullet. He moved the bullet. Well,
we all know that the Warren Commission's goal was to soothe the masses by making Oswald the guy that did it.
Right.
I mean, that was their purpose. They went about it in the best way that they could. Do you think from the time the assassination happened, do you honestly think that government agencies purposely muddied this thing up?
Well, I do.
I think Earl Warren thought he was doing the patriotic thing. I think he thought he was averting nuclear war with Russia. That's one of my thoughts on that.
Well, I think a lot of guys thought they were doing the patriotic thing, yeah. I think a lot of guys thought that were involved here.
We have the documents?
Yeah.
We have the tapes? We know that that's what they were saying.
Well, at least some of them, yeah.
Says, guess what? Here's a little-known fact. You know who else talked Earl Warren into serving? No one mentions this. RFK, So this was a whole, the whole of government, including the Kennedys, were in on the cover-up. It was that admiral that was Kennedy's physician that was at the autopsy that instructed them not to cut the throat wound. Do not dissect that wound.
And that's why I think that the most horrible, that's why I think the most horrible and yet logical conclusion here about all of that, when you line it all up, is that they didn't know and they needed to produce an answer. So they produced this crap answer and that's it. But they don't know. How about that? And they know they don't know. That's the only embarrassing thing that I think could possibly drop out of this paperwork, is that at the end of the day, we don't really know. And if there's a smoking gun anywhere, there's a smoking gun that says we don't have the solution. Not that they're hiding the truth, but that they don't have it either. That's the only thing I can think of that would be worth doing the crap that they're doing and withholding stuff 25 years after it was decided it should be released and everything else. That's the only logic I've got, and I don't hear anybody else saying it besides me, but I'm telling you, I swear that's what it is.
I thought that JFK shot himself, no? That was a joke.
Yeah, why not? Sure, with the confetti cannon. I know, but still. And we're almost at the end of the show, and I think I might have a Skype message here. Does somebody want to join in? Never mind. It's okay. Anyway.
We need an extended show, Chuck. Come on. Gobble, gobble.
Well, not today, man. But you know what? In the near future, I think we will get into some longer shows. But I do want to give each of you guys an opportunity to sort of give your final thoughts and whatever, but I contend that that is the only embarrassment that makes logical sense for them to continue to withhold. It lines up nicely with everybody trying to muddy up the water, including former CIA guys who are now trying to sell the Oswald as a Russian agent BS and everything else. I think all of that is just perfectly lines up. And as Jimmy James points out, you know, RFK on more than one occasion participates in the cover-up of his own brother's murder. Okay, that's true, despite the fact that, you know, a lot of people try and represent him as a sympathetic figure who was looking for the truth. He may have indeed been looking for it, but simultaneously, he was participating in the cover-up. So make sense of that without my thesis, which is that they don't know what happened, and they know they don't know what happened. How about that? Anyways, B. Pete, why don't you go through? We got Chris Graves on the line. We got Jimmy James, and I've already given my final summation. So, what do you think? Who should you call on first to give their final thoughts?
We'll go with Jimmy first. Jimmy, what are your final thoughts on the deal?
Yeah, the papers that I most would like to see that we won't see would be like the internal histories. You'll recall, like, they finally released, what was it, the Eagle and the Swastika in 2003, which was the CIA's internal history of basically paperclip and the CIA's playing with Nazis. And these internal histories that they write after the fact are what would really interest me. I suspect that they're going to pretty much say what Chuck said, that the thing really was investigated, but so we don't know. Here's our suspects. I would guess that's what their reports would say. I seriously doubt that they say we did it. It was fun.
Yeah, right.
Catch us if you can.
Yeah, I love that. I'm glad you said that. And we have gotten a glimpse at some of these internal histories. But you're right, we have not gotten a complete look at the whole of them. Not the whole thing. Only part of it have they ever released. You notice. So that is interesting, and it is fascinating when one of their historians lays it out. There is often in every situation, and you're right about paperclip too, despite the fact that we had, you know, the captured Nazi archives and all those other things. They did not until 2003, you know, finally say, Well, here's the fun and games. And still, by the way, in the JFK documents, we discovered stuff about Paperclip, by the way. Because there were figures that, you know, look, it just so happens, it's only 20 years later, they were still alive and still operational. Okay? So, here you go. But anyway, Jimmy James, I appreciate all that. And thanks for calling in, man. I'm going to put you on hold. And that leaves us with Chris, BP, right?
Yeah, Chris, what do you think?
I think we should, all the Air Force One tapes should be released, and they probably never will be. I think Lee Harvey Oswald's tax return should finally be made public. I also think we should know everything there is to know about the other patsy in the aborted Chicago plot, Thomas Arthur Valley, and his connection with Oswald. And there was one other thing I was hoping that one day we may see. All the tenants in the Dow Tech's building, that would be nice to know who took up space in there. And rest in peace, John F. Kennedy. You deserved a lot better, and our country has not been the same ever since. And good night.
There you go, Chris Graves. And you'll be back on Sunday with a live show, right?
Absolutely, unless instructed otherwise.
Right. Well, I'm not going to do that this time. It so happened that, again, something conflicted on the weekend there, so I appreciate you giving me a pass so I could...
Very, very important, so I was more than happy to step aside, sir.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I know you're working on some great guests, so Get Mad with Chris Graves at Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern live here on Ocelli.com. And I look forward to seeing what you're going to do next, that's for sure. And, you know, here we are. and by the way, that Dow Tech thing, I tried like hell to track that down and even enlisted the help of Gary Mack years ago. A couple years, I guess, before he got really sick to try and track that down. And I know that sounds crazy. I'm working with the sixth floor guy. But you know what? I don't care who I was working with as long as they had the information. You couldn't argue with Gary as somebody who had a ton of information on the case. So even trying to work with him on it, he wanted that information just like I did. And, I couldn't get it. So that is one of those things I would like to have. And, the government doesn't have it. The Chamber of Commerce doesn't have it for some reason. The Dallas police don't know for some reason. Nobody knows who all the tenants were in the Dow Tax building. Anyways, BP, I know that's a piece of minutia, but telling you it's of interest, as all of it is.
Oh, it is. I mean, that's something people have been discussing now for close to 60 years.
So what are your final thoughts tonight, sir?
Oh, my final thoughts. Well, we got another Friday in the can. Looking forward to another Friday next week. Other than that, I hope everybody had a good Turkey Day. We're getting into the holiday season, so a lot of people get stressed out about this time of year. Hopefully they can tune in on Friday nights here for a little bit of sanity.
Appreciate it. And I'll tell you something else. I'm going to make an extra effort to make sure that we are live a lot more often and put out a lot more material, especially toward the Christmas time. Because I want to make sure that people still feel life going on, even if they're not feeling so good about the holidays, which is usually me. I'm in that circumstance. And look, man, it will pass. The winter will pass. We some of us are affected by the seasons and all that kind of stuff. But we'll do our best to keep you company here. And you can always call in and talk to us anytime on Friday nights and get things out of your system. Instead of letting them eat at you. And also, I do accept private contacts as well. If, you know what, you're somebody who listens to the show, you're having some troubles, and you want somebody to talk to, I'll make time for you. I will. This is what I do, and this is what I offer every year. And I suggest at all times you try and support your neighbors as best you can. Because, you know what, if the people around you are not suffering or desperate, it makes for a better environment for you and yours. So, you know, BP loves to say support your local food banks, and I did that on a show recently. I went and said, you know what, I'm going to quote my co-host from Friday nights. I was a guest. And I said, I'm going to quote my co-host from Friday nights and tell you to go support your local food banks and do, you know, be good to each other and this kind of thing. So just wanted you to know, you got a mention on another show.
All right. Good deal. But I
say it not because I'm just repeating it, but because I believe it. I think that we can all do better, and we all do better when we help others to do better where we can. The Ocelli Effect is done for the week, for Friday night, and yeah, there wasn't that much coming out this week, but don't worry. Next week and the next few weeks, we're going to heat up, get more stuff out, and get the audiobook out. I got a photo section I'm working on and a few other things, so no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, I want you to remember I'm merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. Good night.